Hey y'all, welcome back into the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. It's time for our weekly look at wheat, and we do that with Texas wheat producer Stilly Fischbacher. And Stilly, thanks for being back with us on our program.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to do it.
Now, I know I've been giving updates on the fact that FSA offices are taking appointments by phone only. What has Texas wheat producers been doing during this coronavirus outbreak in regards to that?
Sure. Well, our office has about 4 employees, and we don't have that many people just stopping in unannounced. But we do have someone in the office during regular business hours. We are also juggling. Some of our staff are working from home, but we have tried to maintain a presence of an open office, even despite some of the recommendations to shelter in place, if you will, here in our local area. Because we know that we are involved in agriculture and that has been considered a critical infrastructure segment of the industry, we are able to get out and still be in the office. And so, as always, if anybody wants to come by, we should be there. We recommend that people call, and then we're always available by email, phone, in any ways that you can contact us. We are all still working to try to benefit our wheat farmers.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you know, you never know if someone's going to be there to answer the phone. So at least we know that much, if nothing else.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and look at that crop condition rating then. I'm sure a lot of our producers are interested to know where we are with that this week.
Okay, so we do have quite a significant improvement in our Texas wheat conditions compared to when we started the month. We are now into April, but we started March at 26% of our crop rated good to excellent. And then by the end of the month, we were at 56%. So we saw quite a large improvement in our crop condition ratings from USDA. Most of that was just warmer temperatures, additional rainfall. I have talked to some producers here in the local area recently, and they would like to see additional precipitation. But for right now, our crop condition ratings, at least, are looking very good. I mentioned 56% good to excellent and only 14% poor to very poor. So quite a bit of improvement in crop conditions. We've also been tracking very closely what's happening with the futures market, the price that our producers are receiving. We started the week just about $5 on the July hardwood winter futures contract. And then we did see some correction over the week. It looks like we're going to end the week in the 470 range, somewhere in that area. Mostly that was just correction for some of the gains that we saw the week before, and then the domestic demand leveled out. We did see, as people were running to the grocery store and buying a lot more bread and buying a lot more flour, that domestic demand spiked. And so now that those channels are back full and running, that has leveled off to a more stable level. And so we will kind of stay in this range and see where things go from there. But that's where we were at last week in terms of price. We did also have a very important NAS report come out last week, prospective plantings, probably more important for corn and soybean numbers because those were the first ones we've seen this season. But wheat remains historically low. That was reconfirmed in this report for winter wheat acres. In fact, the second lowest since we've been taking records on wheat acres planted here in the U.S. The Texas planted acres were revised. Earlier, our first estimate in January was that Texas producers planted 4.9 million acres of wheat, and that was revised down to 4.8, so a slight decrease from that first earlier estimate. That's kind of where we're at in terms of the wheat crop out there right now.
All right, great. Yeah, and I know your work never stops. You have other things that you keep up with aside from crop condition and price. And here recently, you've been kind of keeping up with a paycheck protection program. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. So that was one of the main programs included in the CARES Act. And we talked over the past couple of weeks about what the CARES Act included for agriculture in terms of replenishing the Commodity Credit Corporation funds and then additional money to the secretary for his discretion in ways to help agriculture. But also included in that, the biggest part of that package was this Paycheck Protection Program. And actually, over the last week, I've gotten a lot of calls from producers, farmers, asking questions about the program. It opened for the first round of signups on April 3rd, so at the end of last week. It is open to sole proprietors and self-employed, so that would include farmers. There was some confusion along the way about if farmers would be eligible, if this would be beneficial to farmers. And so it's very important that farmers take a look at this program. It's going to be specific to each person's operation, whether they need that money or they think it would be beneficial, or if they are eligible based on the requirements. And so definitely something that's brand new, that there, it seems like there is a lot of interest in from the agriculture community. And so we're trying to put resources on our website to try to answer some of those questions. But we are still getting information from the Small Business Administration, who is rolling out this loan program. It's important to note that it is a loan through the Small Business Administration. You do apply for it from your local lenders and banks. And we did receive word last week that Farm Credit Administration, all of their branches will be able to process these loans. And then it's important to know also that if you meet certain criteria and you use the money for certain purposes, that there is the option for debt forgiveness. That is kind of what's spearheading a lot of the interest in the program, is that debt forgiveness. But you do have to follow the guidelines. So just encouraging producers that if and small ag businesses, if you're interested in this program, you have questions, there's folks out there who have the information and the expertise to help you, but just trying to make sure that everybody's aware of it as an option.
All right. Yeah. As you said, you're updating your website with that information. But obviously with shelter in place in a lot of places across the Texas Panhandle, or, you know, communities encouraging people to self-quarantine, farmers and ranchers are kind of stuck in that situation as well, where maybe they can't go get their daily cup of coffee, or they can't go to church on Sunday like they normally would. And you're trying to help keep people busy and entertained and informed while that's going on. You're actually putting educational materials on your website as well.
That's right. It's really a great opportunity for us. I mean, how long has it been since we've been talking about everybody buying out bread and flour at the grocery store? You usually only see that during some type of weather disaster. But now everybody's doing that because they're going to go home and use that to feed their family, and do that for quite a while, it looks like, at least over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And so having that increased demand and people Googling, I mean, you can look at Google data, people Googling, how do I make a loaf of bread? That has skyrocketed in the last couple of weeks. And so making sure that we capture that interest and help those folks understand the importance of wheat in a diet and how to best use it and how to make that great loaf of bread has been really important for us. So we have recipes on texaswheat.org. We've seen increased traffic there. We also help promote eatwheat.org. That is a great website that has tons of recipes and also videos from farmers who are videoed out on their farm talking about the importance of wheat to their farm and the things that they do to try to grow a healthy crop. So promoting that website has been great. We are also a member of the Home Baking Association, and they work very closely with schools and home economics type classes, and they have provided resources for distance learning. So all of those teachers who are trying to teach those lessons now to their students who are at home have these great videos and lesson plans available to them where they can just roll those out. And all of those products feature wheat as part of the diet. And so it's just a great message and a great activity for us to promote. They do have lessons for all ages. In fact, in my house this week, we used the lesson to make Play-Doh. It's important. We always thought about making Play-Doh in the past at home, but it's important now that we make sure we cook that product. And so this recipe specifically also has instructions for cooking it so that it's, we know that it's safe. Any pathogens or anything that were in that flour, we know we're now safe after we've cooked it. So definitely one to promote heavily. It was very fun for my family here. Just a great resource to have all of those distance learning, because I know with having kids at home, everybody's looking for that type of information, especially teachers. So participating with them, also promoting their resources about how to bake bread, and like I said, capturing this interest that we have right now, I think in the long run is a benefit to wheat farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I might have to try making that Play-Doh myself.
Yeah, it's a fun activity.
Yeah, and I really appreciate Texas Wheat Producers. You know, y'all are a weekly contributor here at KGNC, and you're helping spread the positivity amid the uncertainty these days, and we just really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that is Miss Stilly Fishbacher with Texas Wheat Producers. That's it for today, though. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the Ag Hour. It is Monday. Please go out there and make it a great day. I'm KGNC Agribusiness News Director Shannon Gray.